It seems somehow some cryptid creatures have managed to hide right under our noses for all of these years. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true experiences with cryptid creatures, sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a cryptid story or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, the stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true cryptid encounter horror stories. There were two incidents that happened on two separate days. I will start with the shorter incident first. On the second night of the 7-day summer camp, we were just telling each other how our days were nothing too crazy. But then I saw it. Some sort of strange creature was standing at the window. I only saw it for a few seconds, but I swear I could make out some of its details to this day. It was tall, pale white, and it was standing in a bipedal position, but as soon as I turned to tell my counselors about this thing, it disappeared. After I told my counselors what just happened, they were surprisingly comforting and told me it was probably just one of the other counselors messing with other teams, or my eyes just playing tricks on me. Now, in this instance, I must admit they were probably right, but in this next story, I know what I saw. On the fourth day of the summer camp, the CIT was going to a group hiking trip which was already scary enough for me due to my fear of heights. I even almost tripped at one point during the hike, and that scared the daylights out of me. Anyway, after what felt like hours of hiking, we finally made it to the campsite. I immediately collapsed on the ground, not caring if it hurt or not. Luckily, it did not. Things started to get a little strange after we set up the tents. First, we saw a deer running away from something. We quickly shrugged it off since nothing seemed to be chasing it. Plus, we wouldn't exactly ask the deer if he was okay or what happened. A couple of hours would pass. I and some friends were trying to throw some stones into a pipe sticking out of a bathroom stall. You know, those type of bathrooms they usually have at gas stations or parks. Anyway, while we were there just being a bunch of goofballs, we heard some sort of roar. We could not make out what it was, though, since it was so far away. It could have been a scream for all I know. Another couple of hours passed and it was starting to get dark, so we prepared to go to bed. Then one of my friends had a shocked look on his face, like he just saw a ghost or something. I asked him if he was okay, and he quickly snapped out of it. He told me he thought he saw something weird in the field of trees in front of the campsite, but he figured it was probably his eyes playing tricks on him. I quickly dismissed what he saw as well, just because I didn't want to freak myself out. Before we went to sleep, we had this initiation to decide which group of kids we would be partnered with since we were all counselors in training. When it was my turn, I was immediately on edge as I walked the dark path to the fully fledged counselors. One of my friends was with me, so I did have a form of comfort, but even then, I could not shake off the feeling that something was with us in the darkness. I know that sounds a bit cliche, but that's the only way I could describe how I felt. Fortunately, I got to the counselors without something dragging me into the darkness. Shortly after, I was assigned to the group, and luckily, it was the one I wanted. Things immediately took a turn for the horrific. Something quickly dashed away from behind my counselors. We all heard it, so luckily, they did not think I was crazy or something, and at that moment, we were all on edge. Luckily, I was the last CIT to get my group assigned, so we all quickly ran back to the tents. One of the leaders even grabbed a machete he brought with him to cut down any branches that got in our way. A few hours would pass. Everyone was asleep except for me. I was too freaked out about what happened. As soon as I began to calm down, however, I heard a loud thud outside my tent, that even woke up my fellow CIT. I immediately grabbed my flashlight and peeked outside. To my disgust, I saw the dead body of a mountain lion. How I did not throw up is beyond me. Maybe it was because I was too scared to think about how disgusting the sight was. Shortly afterward, we heard something coming from the woods, so I immediately turned off my flashlight to avoid being spotted and quickly jolted back into the tent. Sounds of flesh being torn off and eaten could be heard. One of my friends almost threw up, and another was crying silently. Soon my curiosity overcame my fear as I looked out the tent once again. I did not dare to shine my flashlight on it, as if it could kill a mountain lion, it would have no problem killing us. It was dark out, so if this sounds far-fetched, note that I could not see it fully, but what I did see terrified me. This white bipedal human-like animal was looming over the dead mountain lion, feasting on this poor thing. One of my friends peeked out with me to see this creature. I have no idea why she did this, but then again I did the same thing. She let out a scream which got the attention of the creature. We quickly darted our heads back into the tent and hid. I'm guessing this thing didn't really have the best eyesight, otherwise it would have charged at us and killed us right then and there. Anyway, the creature started to circle around the tent very slowly. We could see its shadow, even though I still couldn't make out exactly what this creature was. All I knew is it was no normal animal. Soon, it began to drag its claws across the outside of the tent. I think he was studying it. I could be wrong. When it reached the front of the tent, it began to claw at it. Not enough to tear the tent, but it was rather close. This thing kept clawing at the tent for what felt like hours. I was so scared that this would be my last moments alive. All my adrenaline-filled instincts told me to kick the creature and run, but I was too scared to even move an inch. Luckily for us, though, all this chaos woke up the counselors, and they shined their lights on the creature, which must have scared it off because all the commotion just stopped. One of the counselors opened the tent to find us all pale with fear. The counselors practically had to carry us out because we were just too scared to move. I practically begged the counselors for us to get the heck out of there. They told me, as much as they wanted to, it would be safer to wait until the morning to hike back down. So we did just that. After we made it back to the cabins, I began sobbing. I had never been so close to death before. Soon the counselors who remained at the camp heard me crying and asked me what was wrong. I told them that they wouldn't believe me, but they convinced me by saying that either way, they'll listen to me and what I have to say. So I told them everything. Rather than just walking away and leaving the story as is, there could be one other thing. I'd like to bring up that this may have just been me freaking myself out. But on the very next night outside the cabins in the main camp area, I heard scratching and that same disturbing scream my group heard that day before. Now I know these stories may sound far-fetched and crazy, but I swear they are nothing but the truth. My name is Gerald. I'm a 37-year-old, and I live in a cabin in the deep Alaskan countryside. I have lived in rural Alaska most of my life, and the quiet woodland has never bothered me, until now. I have been on my own ever since my late father died 6 years ago. This area is always quiet with only family and friends that visit me a few times a year, and the closest town is about 30 minutes away. I do not have any neighbors either. And even though this sounds crazy, I have never felt much danger here. I guess I have never given much thought to what else could be out here in the dark other than, you know, our wildlife. So let me start off by telling you, no matter how tough you might think you are, in these deep countryside areas, nothing can prepare you for this. So it was just like any other evening. It was February, and it was cold. I hopped back in my truck from loading cedar chips that I use for my dog outside to stay warm. I start my engine and start my truck back home. As I get about 10 minutes away, I get this gut feeling that something is just off. I have had this feeling before, just like anyone else, but this was different. I started to get nauseous and felt the color drain from my face. So I pulled over and swung my door open just in case I had to puke. as I held my head out of the door. All I could think was, what the heck was that? Something still felt off, but my nausea had subsided, so I pulled back onto the road and continued until I got home. As I pulled into my long gravel driveway, I could see that my front porch light was not on as I had left it. I pulled into where I parked and opened the door slowly, keeping my head on a swivel as I took my .45 out of its holster. I slowly approached the steps and took out my phone light. My front porch lights had been shattered. My first thought is that someone broke into my cabin and wanted to relieve themselves from being seen if I came home. But then I shine my light down at my steps and I see footprints. Let me just point out, for one, I usually do not use my front porch door. I usually go to the side door, so I know it was not my footprints. And second, these were not human footprints. They were way bigger. They were like twice the size of a working man boot. They left scratch marks all the way up my porch, with every step they got to my door. The thing I was most confused about, though, was the fact that the footsteps went up to my front door, but never came back down. Nervous, at this point I unlocked my door quickly, flipped on the lights, and I am immediately met with the strong smell of decay. Holding back my vomit, I yell, "If anyone is in here, come out now, I'm armed." I'm met with silence. So I say, "I'm not messing around. Come out now and you won't be shot." Still, I'm met with silence. So I slowly make my way to each room, and there is no one and nothing's been touched. Confused and honestly terrified, I go outside the door of my cabin again and realize that this whole time, I have not once heard my dog barking outside from his kennel. I bolted back to see that my beautiful German Shepherd was gone. Just a large circle of blood stained snow, and there was fur left behind. I noticed there was those same footprints from the front. I do not know if that is what you would call them at this point. It was leading from the kennel, all the way up to the trail and to the tree line. So, my .45 in hand, I sprint up the trail, taking out my phone light once more and reach the wood line to stop. I notice the sound of rustling, but I cannot tell exactly where it's coming from. As I'm looking for whatever is making this noise, I see a red glimmer catching my light to the right of me. It is another small pool of blood. As I shine my light directly up, I see my dog's head shoved onto a small tree branch. I let out a scream, and then I hear some of the heaviest thuds come crashing towards me that I've ever heard in my life. I mean, this thing must have been making ungodly leaps to move this fast. I look in the direction they are coming from, and all I see is this huge thing barreling toward me on all fours as it let out one of the loudest screeches I've ever heard. If I had to describe it, the only way I could put it is that it sounded like a woman screaming at the top of her lungs, both in a high and low demon-like scream. Without thinking, I sprint straight down the trail as fast as I could toward the truck, but I can hear this thing gaining on me. So still running, I glance back and fire two shots from my .45 and hear the rustling stop, but I do not stop running. When I get back to my truck, that was about 25 yards away from where I fired my shots. I look back as I am swinging my door open to see what looked like an 8-foot-tall thing, now standing upright, with glowing red eyes. It looked like it was missing most of its fur, and it let out another screech. So without hesitation, I hop in my truck and floor it out of there. This happened two nights ago, and I'm currently staying with my sister who is an hour and a half away from where I live. I do not know what that thing was, but it was unlike anything I have ever seen. I tried to chalk it up to being a large animal with mange, but nothing does that kind of stuff that this thing did to my poor dog. It was dark that night, so I really could not make out a whole lot other than the terrifying glowing red eyes from the light of my phone, the patchy fur, and how tall it was. Above all else, though, what on earth can move that fast, and what the heck makes that kind of a sound? I really do not know where to go from here. I think I will stay with my sister a little while longer. Hopefully, I will not ever see that thing again. I live just outside Louisville, Kentucky, in a small town just across the Ohio River in Indiana. A few weeks ago, Louisville started to have protest marches for the Black Lives Matter movement. Lots of people, myself included, downloaded a police scanner app to know what was going on in real time. At first, I just listened to different police departments in Louisville, but soon started checking out any town around Louisville for police dispatch reports. That is when things got weird. About 6 weeks ago, I was scrolling through different towns on the scanner when at 2 a.m. on May 15th, I hear a 911 dispatcher send out a report. The dispatcher said a group of teens reported some type of creature stalking them. One cop replied and said, "Creature of a meth head?" I remember chuckling at the cop's joke. Then the cop replied again and asking for the coordinate. The police department I was listening to was from Jeffersonville, Indiana, a small city just across the Ohio River from Louisville. Jeffersonville was like most small cities in the Midwest. You know, God-fearing and with many drug-related problems over the last 10 years or so. So the meth comment by the police officer seemed to be about right. I figured either teens or the person they were calling were probably on drugs. Having nothing else to do, seeing as weeks in quarantine had rendered me bored, I continued listening, hoping for something entertaining to happen. About 20 minutes had passed when a very worried police officer came over the scanner. "I do not know what the heck is out here, but it is not a meth head. Send backup ASAP. The dispatcher then told the officer to change channels after that, and I did not hear anything else about it. The next day I was on Facebook when I saw friends reposting from one of the teens from the night before. They recounted how they were walking by the waterfront Friday night when one of the teens in the group said they felt like they were being watched. After a few jokes on their behalf, one of the teens looked up and saw a giant creature up in the tree. They said it had red eyes, and once they noticed the creature, it jumped out of the tree and flew away. This post was laughed at and mocked by most people. Myself, after reading it, I got goosebumps personally. I thought about how freaked out that cop sounded and figured these teens might have seen something. Days would pass with nothing but the usual banter on the police scanner. A few crimes here and there and protesters doing their thing. Other than that, there was not much to keep me occupied. Wednesday the 20th of May, I had been unable to sleep, so, with nothing to do, I sat down watching some television. After midnight, I decided to open up my scanner, and after a short while of checking channels, I came across another weird dispatch. This time it was from New Albany, Indiana. The dispatcher was looking to send an officer out to respond to a car wreck. What happened next really had me on edge for quite a while. The scanner jumped alive after 10 minutes. The officer reported he needs an ambulance. The wreck was an older model Ford that had run off the road going a high rate of speed. The officer told dispatch that the driver was in his early 60s. He reported that he felt the man was driving while impaired. The dispatcher jokingly asked, "What makes you say that?" The officer replied, "Well, the driver says he lost the road while fleeing from a winged man-like bird with glowing red eyes." Laughter was quickly silenced from the dispatcher when the officer whispered into the mic, "Oh my God, I don't think we're alone. Send backup immediately." The scanner goes dead for almost an hour when an officer feverishly screams, "Shots fired! Shots fired! I think I hit it!" The dispatcher quickly tells the officer to change channels. Nothing but silence came after that. I gripped my phone, waiting to hear more, but fell asleep shortly after. The next day on the local news, sandwiched in between news stories about politics and police brutality, there was a story from New Albany. The news reporter said an officer, while investigating an automobile accident, was attacked. Upon other officers arriving on the scene, one officer was found unconscious. While surveying the incident, the other officers had seen a tall man running towards them after repeated commands to stop. Shots were fired. Then the news reporter said it was at that point the suspicious man disappeared. The reporter then interviewed a homeowner who said that they saw the incident. The homeowner relayed what had already been said, but followed it by saying after the gunshot rang out, they said they saw the suspect fly into the air. The anchorman back at the studio said, "Well, it seems like he had a few beers last night." It was after this I decided out of boredom to look up the description of the subject on the internet. So I typed into Google "winged man with glowing red eyes." What came up shocked the heck out of me. I read a few stories that I found on some websites about West Virginia, a town called Point Pleasant. In several articles, I learned that between November of 1966 till December of 1967, several residents had witnessed a moth-like creature. Some people described it as a creature with a 10-foot wingspan, glowing red eyes, and man-like frame. I remember thinking, this is what people are seeing around here for sure. I feverishly kept reading, and when I came upon this part, my heart almost dropped. December 15th, 1967, Silver Bridge in Point Pleasant collapsed, taking with it 46 people's lives. This news had me shaking my head. I kept reading other web pages, but there were several theories as to what happened. However, most pages feel this Mothman creature was a warning foreshadowing the collapse of the bridge. This theory has me freaking out. You see, Louisville has 5 bridges crossing the Ohio River. There's the big 4, the Lewis and Clark, the Abraham Lincoln, Sherman Mitten, and the JFK. A few years ago, the Corps of Engineers had to shut down the Sherman Mitten Bridge for months because of structural defects. Then there's Abraham Lincoln, which was just recently built, so who knows how well that one is. I know they finished ahead of schedule, and at the very least, one person died during construction. I have now taken it upon myself to drive to these bridges and see if I notice anything that could probably be wrong. I am not sure what to even look for, but I can't just sit here and do nothing. I have also gotten a hold of the teens from the first sighting, and they have agreed to meet with me and tell their story. It's now June 3rd, and my interview with the teens was a lot more informative than I have imagined. I brought with me several drawings I found online of the Mothman. As they were telling me what happened that night, I pulled out the drawings and I watched their faces turn white. One girl shakingly took out the drawings that she made, and they were almost exact. She said she will never forget those red eyes, and when it jumped out of the tree, it swooped down at them. She shivered when she told me how the wind from its wings moved her hair. After leaving my meeting with them, I sat in my car wondering what I really thought I could do about all of this. I must be crazy. I mean, I'm not a detective. Hell, I'm not even a reporter. Even if this Mothman prophecy thing is real, how could I get anybody to listen? I would sound like a crazy person to most people. If this really was happening, how can I live with myself? God forbid a bridge falls. After getting home with my mind racing no stop, I figured out what I needed to do. I could not go to people without real evidence, so that is what I will do. I got my digital video camera and got my 45 APC. This creature comes out at night and by the waterfronts around the Ohio River. I will drive around at night and hopefully I will get some good video evidence. I have been out every night for almost a week just driving around listening to the scanner and haven't so much seen a bat. I was getting frustrated. I was second-guessing myself as to what I was really doing. I am just wasting gas, I thought, and my time. It is not like I've got the money to throw away. I am almost completely breaking the stimulus check I got a month ago. I finally make my mind up just to go home. On the drive home, I decided I would take one last drive by Ohio. That is when things got real. As I was driving, I tried to light a cigarette but dropped my lighter on the dark floorboard of my car. Not being able to find it, I pulled over so I can grab it and be on my way. I reached down and after fumbling around for a few moments, I found my lighter and upon rising, I lit my cigarette. In the dark, the lighter temporarily blinds me as my vision came back. I saw it. 2 glowing red eyes. Oh hell, I uttered to myself as I struggled to get my camera turned on. No more than 20 yards away, I could see the full creature. It was gray, about 6 feet tall with giant wings stretched out. Just as I got my camera turned on, the creature screamed so loud, it made my ears ring. Soon the Mothman was upon my car, clawing at my windshield. My hands shaking, I dropped the camera and seconds later came up with my 45. Without a second thought, I unload a full clip straight into its gray flesh. My ears ringing and half blind from the muzzle flash, I jumped out my car door. Stumbling back, I fell on the ground, nervously backing up. The Mothman jumped, and with its wings sweeping downward, it rose into the air. At this point, I ejected the clip from my gun and quickly loaded another, firing a shot after shot into it. I could vaguely make out jerking motions as impact after impact found its mark. It felt like an eternity had passed, all the while it was just a mere second. I watched the creature fly off. I must have hit it a dozen times or so. At least a few of these were center mass. I watched as it flew over the Ohio River, and it suddenly falls out of the air. I heard a heavy splash in the water. I managed to get up and run to the water's edge. The currents of the river swiftly took the creature downstream. Hearing sirens, I realized no matter what I could tell the cops, nobody would believe me. I would just look like a crazy person shooting a gun off in the middle of the night. So I got back into my car and drove out of there. It has been about a week since I encountered the Mothman. I keep searching my scanner every night hoping that this will be over. I do not know. Even if this creature is dead, a bridge still might fall. The Silver Bridge collapsed a year after the first sighting of the Mothman. I know one thing for sure. I will not be crossing over the Ohio River anytime soon. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true cryptid encounter horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a cryptid encounter or something else that creeped you out, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. And if you're listening on a podcast platform like iTunes, be sure to hit that 5-star rating, it really helps the show. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button, and be sure to turn on notifications to never miss a new upload, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to listen to your favorite scary stories from the swamp, be sure to download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about anywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And like I said, it's absolutely free to do so. I just want to say thank you guys so much for supporting the swamp the way you did this year in 2020. It really was a great year, and we grew so much. I can't wait to see where we go for 2021 and how many great stories get sent in. As always, thank you guys so much for the support. I can't thank you guys enough. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.